Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation, Memorial Day 2011. Of course, if I was the President of the United States, I could say 2008. But it is 2011, and it is a holiday, a day to remember that it has been, for all intents and purposes, washed away. Its meaning barely present. It's about beer and hot dogs and the beginning of summer for most Americans. I am Dwight Schultz, a professional actor, have been for over 40 years, a conservative all my life, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, Barkley on Star Trek Next Generation and Voyager. A lot of television motion pictures, a lot of feature films, 15 years in the theater before I ever put my puss in front of a television camera or a motion picture camera, but a conservative all my life. I don't know why. I've just seen the world that way. And this particular day, Memorial Day, is a very important one. I have some statistics that you might find interesting. Why we are having difficulty in our country seeing things that are important, doing things that are important, and placing things in the forefront that are unimportant. Venalities, social peculiarities that really are unnecessary and troublesome when we have immediate and important issues. Like the men and women who protect you and I and who guarantee our freedom. This microphone, usually manned by Dr. Michael Savage, is an example of the freedom that the Constitution of the United States guarantees. Not everyone in the world has it, ladies and gentlemen. I know that sounds crazy to you because you're bored with it sometimes. But if you go up to Michael Savage's website, savage.com, you will note up there that Dr. Savage has been banned from Great Britain. Our, for all intents and purposes, the father of the American Constitution and law, common law. We almost speak the same language. We don't, of course, according to the Brits, but we do. But our freedoms here in this country are particular and unlike freedoms anywhere else in the world, even though there are those who would like to see them removed. So Dr. Savage cannot go to Great Britain because their freedoms are not the same. They are not guaranteed the way our Constitution guarantees our freedoms if we are willing to die and fight for it. And this Memorial Day remembers those who did, who died, who gave, in the great words of Abraham Lincoln at the Gettysburg Address, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. that we, that here, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That is why we celebrate Memorial Day. If you use the word, celebrate for this day, that their death collectively was not in vain. That those in Afghanistan and Iraq who are dying today and have been over this past year, that they shall not have died in vain. It is up to you. It is up to me to make sure that that comes to pass, that that does not happen. That we here resolve that those who have died, died for the reason that they so cherished liberty, our freedom, the right to speak, the right to mingle with those you wish to mingle with. It is a very, very humbling day because so many of us have never placed our lives at risk. Just think of this. In 1945, at the end of World War II, the United States had a population of approximately 150 million, just approximates. It was a little less, actually. 150 million. At that time, nearly 50% of the population had some direct connection to the military, a loved one who worked, died, lived, came back from the United States Armed Forces in World War II. 50% of 150 million, 75 million people, one out of every two people that you meet. Today we have a population of 360 million, and only 1% of the population has any connection with the United States military. Can you do the math? I'm bad at math. 3.5 million people out of 360 million people today have a connection with the United States military. Is it any wonder at all that their deaths, that their lives, that their purposes don't seem to be in the forefront? That we go about our lives every day because everything goes on, as we all know, progressives tell us, in perpetuity. It's all there for us to take and steal and throw words around and change the meaning of everything and get rid of everything. And the United States sucks anyway. But yes, just 3.5 million people have any connection out of 350 million with the United States military. I thought it was summed up beautifully this past weekend by Admiral Mullen, who will be leaving as head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was at West Point giving the commencement address. And he said something, and I believe he hit it right on the head. He nailed it. Charles, please, number 18.
Yes, you all understand quite well the sacrifices demanded by military service. What I am suggesting is that we in uniform do not have the luxury anymore of assuming that our fellow citizens understand it the same way. Our work is appreciated, of that I am certain. There isn't a town or a city I visit where people do not convey to me their great pride in what we do. Even those who do not support the wars support the troops. But I fear they do not know us. I fear they do not comprehend the full weight of the burden we carry or the price we pay when we return from battle. This is important because a people uninformed about what they are asking the military to endure is a people inevitably unable to fully grasp the scope of the responsibilities our Constitution levies upon them.
There you have it. We had an example, actually, very recently when Bibi Netanyahu came here to the United States and spoke before the Congress and met with the President of the United States. We had an example of something that is very, very important to the United States, and that is our only real ally in the Middle East, which is in flames. It's in upheaval. We are losing it to an ideology that's very, very similar to the one we fought the Cold War over. It's communism with a religious slant. It's a religion with a political, dogmatic, and ugly side. And it's hard to separate the two because there are many beautiful people who practice the religion without practicing the politics. But the world is in chaos. The Iranians are about to develop their nuclear weapons and no one is stopping them. And the Iranians are building missile bases in Venezuela. They are allied with Chubby Chavez, who's and Ahmadinejad has sworn to destroy us and Israel. And our ally came here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a connection that you should have. But you need to be connected in some way to the military to understand why you need to be connected to this. It's nothing, no protection. Nothing is going to work, as Mullen said. If you don't understand what is being required of you, it's very important for you to be informed right now and for you to become involved right now and for you to know the situation right now and for you, above all, to know who your commander-in-chief is and what he is doing. It's not entertainment. It's real, and it's life, and it's death. And it is up to you. And on this Memorial Day, all who've gone before, who have died, felt that they were dying for a cause that was so important that they were willing to give up their life, and that they knew that someone like you would be carrying forth the fight for liberty. And make no mistake, make none at all, without you becoming informed, without you becoming involved, liberty, well, it'll be on the History Channel in some far eastern city as they sit around laughing at Westerners who prattled about while they devised ways to destroy everything that you know is sacred. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The last full measure of devotion beyond the call of duty were their deeds.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
They gave themselves to serve the greater needs. And with those who did survive, who came back home alive, we join in praise of comrades who were slain.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. The words of Abraham Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address in song and music, the most powerful, some of the most powerful forces that we as human beings know. Music and the written word, the spoken word, joined together in a way that is inspirational, fundamentally amazing, something that is moving. Something that needs to be remembered here on Memorial Day. But there is so much going on in this world, and I have some examples for you of why we are in trouble, of why we don't see things that are protective of the dead, protective of those who gave the very that very last measure of devotion. They don't seem to be able to put two and two together, yet they take advantage of everything. Now, I'm not going to say that these individuals, who mostly are in the media, are evil, misguided, perhaps, but their inability to recognize real travail, real danger, life lessons, their inability to recognize the truth, is so fundamentally profound when you hear it, particularly when you see it contrasted with somebody who absolutely sees the truth and knows it, that you ask yourself, how in God's name is this person muttering up the airwaves? Not that they shouldn't be in a free world. It's absolutely free. I would never want. In fact, this today, some of the clips I'm going to play for you, I wouldn't be able to demonstrate for you absurdity if they were not allowed to speak the truth. One is Judith Miller, who I've had used her clips before. I don't understand this person. The New York Times, of course, I should say. I do understand that. The New York Times. But she's on Fox News, and this individual is incapable at times of being intelligent, intellectual in any way, shape, or form. And it's profoundly interesting that this person works the way she does. But you're going to hear something that is, when Netanyahu came over here to defend the life of his country, and this individual doesn't seem to understand that. That's why I say liberals, they think things go on in perpetuity. Country, everything, government just keeps going on. They don't understand that there's an extraordinary amount of blood and work that goes into it to maintain it. But when you hear this clip, and it's off, when you hear this clip after the break, you will be stunned. You'll be profoundly stunned. And we have, I have Alan West and Donna Edwards, Democrat, Republican. One makes sense, the other does not. Please come back, ladies and gentlemen, to have your Memorial Day ingrained in your brain. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Peace agreement that ends the conflict. Some settlements will end up beyond Israel's borders. Now, the precise delineation of those borders must be negotiated. We'll be generous about the size of the future Palestinian state. But as President Obama said, the border will be different than the one that existed on June 4, 1967. Israel will not return to the indefensible boundaries of 1967.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bibi Netanyahu, who received tumultuous applause, standing ovation after standing ovation in the United States Congress, because what he said was passionate, and it was in defense of his life and the life of his people. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The telephone number here, 1-800-449-8255. If you have a brain, you understand why Netanyahu did what he did, why he was applauded, why there was excitement in the United States that there was a real man defending his country as opposed to running around the world apologizing for everything that's going on. And it's all our fault, the United States, that is. How many bows do we have to see? How many times do we have to hear, well, America's not exceptional, any more exceptional than Sweden or England. It's just not. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the real world when people live and die. Barack Obama found out that the United States was exceptional because that exceptionalism helped kill Osama bin Laden. He knows it. Truthfully, he knows it. He knows it helped him. He took credit for it. Gave away a little. But he took a lot. Because this is an exceptional country. And the freedoms that we share in this country are exceptional. But for some reason, this amazes me. I've played clips of this woman before. It astonishes me that there are people who don't seem to understand what Netanyahu was doing. That the life of his country is at stake. And we have a president who doesn't seem to know that. And we have a lot of journalists who don't seem to know that. They're talking about something else altogether. Now, I want you to listen carefully. This was on Fox News Watch. Now, this is Judith Miller, formerly of the New York Times. And this is what she found strange and amazing about what Netanyahu said. Number four, please, Charles.
It is an amazing thing that he did. What the Israeli prime minister decided to do was to kind of stick it to President Obama. And a lot of commentators, a lot of news people had some trouble with that. Andrea Mitchell called it rude. And I think the smarter commentators, or the smartest of them, said, you know, this guy is likely to be around President Obama for perhaps 6 years if the Republicans don't get their act together. Does Bibi Netanyahu really want to alienate the President of the United States? I think that speech reflects the enmity, the discomfort between these two men. It was really obvious on this trip.
The smart ones. Andrea Mitchell. Does he really want to be around the President of the United States? Well, for 6 years and alienate him? How much more can you be alienated when some man sandbags you, doesn't tell you he's going to change the board? He's going to demand that you go back to the 67 borders when you were attacked on every one of your borders by all the Arab nations. You just happened to beat them in 7 days. And you just happened to take territory to protect yourself. But we're going to go back to those days because you're occupying the land that you took when you were attacked. But he's rude. Andrea Mitchell said he's rude. Really smart commentators. Really smart ones recognize that. Ooh, what's going on here? Please, number five, Charles, please. This is Judith Miller again.
Well, I mean, look, nobody was expecting that. Nobody was expecting Bibi to turn what was supposed to be a set of polite remarks on, you know, a fireside chat into an attack on the president. And I was amazed that commentators on the left and the right tended to react, whoa, an Israeli prime minister is attacking an American president. Yep. I don't think it played well for Bibi. But the end result was the president goes overseas and Bibi Netanyahu is left to give an astonishingly powerful speech to the Congress. He actually told people when he got back to Israel, you know, I felt sorry for the elderly members of Congress because they had to listen to the speech on their feet. I mean, Bibi got the last word. But the war is long. And between these two men, I'm not sure it makes sense to alienate.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the war is long. The war is long between these two men. You see, Judith Miller doesn't understand that Bibi Netanyahu knows that this president is friends with Rashid Khalidi, that he has very close ties to anti-Israel feelings in the United States, Palestinians, sympathies with Hamas. Imagine this. Here you have Hamas. Now, this is the other thing. It's an astonishing thing. You see, Netanyahu knows when the president of the United States said, we have beaten down Al-Qaeda. We've really kind of made mincemeat of them because I killed bin Laden. Netanyahu knows that Ayman Zawahiri was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And, of course, he's second in command in Al-Qaeda. He started it. Isn't it funny? Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, connected, Hamas. Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood are the same thing. When this president, President Barack Hussein Obama, says that we've squashed Al-Qaeda, you don't squash Al-Qaeda until you squash the Muslim Brotherhood. Hamas refuses to accept Israel's existence. They have demanded the destruction of Israel. They have never changed. They are not going to change. They are now allied with the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And the President of the United States, without saying something to Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, decides to change the bargaining situation for Israel, to take away a bargaining chip from the Prime Minister. Just as he has taken credit for killing bin Laden, He's trying now to take away bargaining chips from Israel, and he doesn't have the permission to do that. And that's what Bibi Netanyahu told the president. You know what? You tell me before I come here what you're going to say if you're going to pull that crap. But Judith Miller didn't know that because she only knows, well, she gets a check. She only knows liberal progressivism garbage and major media garbage. She knows Columbia School of Journalism history. That's what Judith Miller knows. She was the one who couldn't understand what was going on in Tahrir Square when a CBS reporter was raped for being Jewish. They were celebrating. They were celebrating. I don't understand this. Because she doesn't understand what's going on. She only understands what it is that pays her a bank account. She understands liberal, progressive nonsense. That's what she understands. And oh, being courteous. The president of the United States completely and totally betrays our only ally in the Middle East. Netanyahu knows it. He knows how he's betrayed in many ways all of our allies. He's pulled the rug out from every one of them. So he was prepared for this. But he also knows that this president has deep-seated relationships with Bill Ayers, Palestinians, anti-Americans, and anti-Jews, anti-Israelis. And he was not going to let this pass. Now, she says, Judith Miller, everybody's shocked. Shocked. Smart people are shocked, that is. Well, listen to Charles Krauthammer. And see what he has to say, and see if he was shocked. And this is the other thing, that this was something that he shouldn't have done. We were all prepared for him to come here and say nice things. Really? When the president of the United States changed the board? Again, Judith Miller being Dumb Miller. It's a good nickname for her, Dumb Miller. Now, this is a correct observation of the event. Number six, please, Charles.
I think the most important event was the speech in Congress that the Prime Minister gave and the electric response he elicited. And it was not about the territories and the lines. It was all about him saying, Mr. Abbas, why won't you say the five words, I accept the Jewish state? I think the American people understand, and we saw it in the Congress, that that's the core issue. And thus the implicit rebuke, Democrat and Republican, to a president who nonetheless is putting all the onus, all the pressure, all the criticism on Israel when it's clear that it's the Palestinians who won't negotiate and won't recognize the Jewish state. And if it doesn't, you can't have peace ever.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. You see, you can't have someone say, I want to kill you. I don't recognize your existence. I want to wipe you out. I want you dead. If you're asked to arbitrate between that individual who wants somebody else dead and I don't recognize your life, I want your family dead, I want your mother dead, I want your father dead, I want you dead, I don't recognize you, your picture's not going to be here, I just want you out. Now, you're gonna arbitrate between that individual and a friend of yours, the one he wants dead. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit the two of them down over tea?
You know, I think that if we sit down and have some cookies and some falafel, this problem can be solved.
Folks, when have you seen the president of the United States? You've heard him attack Israel many times. You've heard him talk about Israel giving, 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 giving. When have you heard him come out and just singly talk about the fact that the Palestinian Liberation Organization and Hamas teach children as young as 4 and 5 years old that Jews are monkeys and pigs and their blood must be spilled? That's child abuse in my book. If the major mainstream media were to show on a daily basis what is being taught to children in the West Bank and elsewhere, I think we'd have a different outcome. Now, I mean, most people recognize it anyway. They all support Israel. But if they did, if the mainstream media actually showed you what goes on, what the thought process is, I think we would see a little pressure on the president of the United States. He would not be doing this. So there you have Charles Krauthammer really nailing it. It's about existence, life, and death. But then we have another Columbia School journalism type of journalist, a little bit more even-handed than Judith Miller. But he's from the Washington Post. His name is Charles Lane. And listen to this. Here you have. Now, think about this. You have come to see the president of the United States, the most powerful country in the world, and he's changing. He's changing the whole board. He is now pulling the rug out from underneath you, is the way he's pulled it out from Great Britain, the way he's pulled it out from the polls, the checks. He's changing the way the United States does business. And you are depending on him for your protection, and you're doing business for him. You're the ones who destroyed the nuclear reactor in Syria. You're the ones who took out the Iraqi nuclear reactor, and you are the ones who wanted to take out the Iranian nuclear reactor. But not with this man now. That's not going to happen. But here's Charles Lane. He, very similar to what Judith Miller said, but he takes a slightly different tact. But look at the way he sees the situation. Number eight, please, Charles.
Well, I have to say I largely agree with Charles, although I do think that Netanyahu's approach may have gone a little bit over the top. To me, the whole atmosphere in Congress there was a little bit too much like a campaign, a little bit ungracious on the part of a guest, actually, to really confront the president that directly and so politically. But I can't disagree with Charles that it was effective for him.
Ed, now you see, I have to say something that Netanyahu said, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Imagine someone, you're going to someone's house for dinner, and they say, well, tell us what you can't eat. And you give them a list of what you can't eat for various reasons. And then when you arrive, without having told you, they say, guess what we're having? All the things you can't eat. That's what we're having for dinner. Happy? I don't think being polite was the correct thing to do. I think Netanyahu did it exactly right, and Krauthammer had it nailed. This is about our existence. You get them to say they accept our existence, and then we'll talk and we'll settle it. Because I know who your friends are, and I know who you are and where you come from. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Everyone is asking who will run against Barack Obama in the Republican Party. It seems to be, well, the answer is, well, we don't know who's going to run. Oh, it's a terrible field. Oh, there are some exciting people. There's nobody exciting. Nobody knows who is going to run. But there are people that I normally agree with who have been throwing out the name of Chris Christie. He seems to say the right things sometimes at the right moment. He knows how to talk back live to unions. He's trying to do the best he can for New Jersey, but I don't know anything about his views internationally. But I do know one thing. When we come back after the top of the hour, I'm going to play for you his little press conference about man-made global warming. And if you are like me, I cannot trust a man who has said he spent a lot of time looking at a subject but doesn't know how to deal with it. Doesn't know anything back, is not a scientist. But yet, he embraced carbon taxes and tools that our enemies around the world use to negate the power of the United States. I cannot vote for someone who willingly accepts that and seems not to understand what is going on. But I will play it for you, and you can be the judge. You can call here and tell me that I'm wrong. The telephone number is 1-800-449-8255. We have callers on the line. We will get to you when we come back. I also have a phenomenal give and take between Donna Edwards and Alan West on Fox News Sunday, if you didn't hear it. But a little bit of an analysis. It exposes progressives for who they are and Alan West for the man that he is. It doesn't matter who he's facing, whether it's somebody from CARE, whether it's an angry constituent talking about health care, or whether he's dealing with a progressive in the Democratic caucus talking about millionaires and billionaires, but really talking about it, small businesses who make $250,000, and actually it's going to be down to $200,000. This man is a giant. He's a dynamo. He knows how to speak. He knows what he believes in. He's passionate. I like Alan West. I'm not saying anything else about it. I'm just saying that is a man. That is somebody who can be president of the United States if he wants to be. That is someone who knows who Barack Obama is. Well, when we come back, after the top of the hour, I will prove that to you, because he is one of the few people who actually said who Barack Obama was on national television. And if you haven't heard it, you'll hear it here on the Savage Nation on this Memorial Day, a day that we have set aside ostensibly to recognize and remember all of those who have given their lives so that we may eat hot dogs and drink beer, have children, go to 3D movies, or maybe 2D if we decide to, and buy large screen LCD sets. That's
warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, Memorial Day 2011. Dwight Schultz, an actor for over 40 years, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, and Barclay, the perennial lieutenant on Star Trek Next Generation and Voyager, finally promoted after 12 or 13 years, something like that. But here on this Memorial Day, I have all my life, although I have never served this country, I have always recognized those who did. And it never crossed my mind that those who served this country were inferior to me who did not. In fact, it was exactly the opposite. I was never a warrior, never felt that I could be a warrior. I always admired people who were courageous and brave in ways that I was not. I would always do my duty, but I didn't have that sense that I wanted to go over the hill with a gun and protect. Maybe I could. If I was asked to do it, I would. But I wasn't a gung-ho type in that sense. But those people who did, those people, I'm always astonished. When I was in school in the 60s and 70s and the SDS and the Weathermen Underground and the hate for the Vietnam veterans coming back started to bubble up, I was very vocal in support of the United States military. Anybody who went to school with me will tell you that. And I could not for the life of me understand how people bought the garbage of Marxism, which was everywhere. Marxist this, communist that, brothers this, brothers that. All the nonsense. The Communist Manifesto. Anybody who read the Communist Manifesto and walked away impressed, like our president, is losing and missing something. There's something up there that's gone. If you've read Whitaker Chambers' book, Witness, if you haven't, you must. It's a remarkable thing, and it's alive today, because the same sort of garbage is out there in the world, but in a different form. If you and radical Islam have melded together, they really have. They've joined together at the hip. Because as totalitarian radical organizations, they recognize that they have to get together to destroy capitalism, which is about freedom. And everything that communism is and everything that Sharia is antithetical to freedom. That's really it It's simple. It is based on totalitarian, top of the pyramid nonsense. And you have to obey. That's what it's all about. You see examples of it everywhere. There are all these connections. There are all these lines going out from us on a day like today. When you observe the military, you observe the great world wars, and you understand that everything that you do is connected to somebody who died in France, in Italy, in Germany, in Vietnam, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Everything that you do, wherever you go, somehow or other, there is a line directly to someone who died. And without them dying, you would not be able to do what you're doing. You would think you could. But like in Germany, when they thought everything was wonderful, they were the height of civilization, all the great music, great art, it all came down in ashes. All you have to do is look at the History Channel once in a while, folks. It comes, it goes. It's ephemeral, transient. The only thing that keeps it alive, the only thing that keeps civilization alive, is to understand what civilization is. If you read the Bible, you do understand. Thomas Paine, in Common Sense. I have to go back. I was telling Beowulf earlier, I have to go back and read the Founding Fathers sometimes for a little simplicity. Thomas Paine wrote, "Here then is the origin and rise of government, namely a mode rendered necessary by the inability of moral virtue to govern the world." That's it. "Here too is the design, an end of government, vis-a-vis freedom and security. And however our eyes may be dazzled with show, or our ears deceived by sound, however prejudice may warp our wills, or interest darken our understanding, the simple voice of nature and reason will say, 'Tis it, 'tis right.'" But I loved that. The mode, we must have government because it is a mode rendered necessary by the inability of moral virtue to govern the world. If you read the Bible, you know that's true. Even though Paine was not a particularly religious person, he got it. He got it. You can't, the world, there are sociopaths and murderers. One of the great things about television and all these these television programs we have, my wife hates it when I watch murder TV. That's not what it's called, but these sociopaths, you're talking to them and you hear them. They're not you and me. They don't think the way we do. There are people who cut off other people's heads, who disembowel people, who put 5 or 6 bullets into their head when they think that they're coming for dinner. They cut off their legs and they put them in a bathtub and they're covered with blood and they like it. They like it. Most of us are not like that. Most human beings are not like that. Most human beings are rational, but all are not. And if you assume that everyone is rational in this world, you are making a huge mistake. That is part of the problem. There is no law, ladies and gentlemen. There's no international law. The only law that exists is the law that the government of the United States and the Constitution of the United States provides for you. The men and women who die, who keep that Constitution alive, they provide the law for you. That's it. That's why it's so upsetting to people when the Supreme Court of the United States starts looking elsewhere. Because we don't want that. We don't want what we ran away from. We don't want countries that say, you know, we don't like what you say, so we're not letting you in. Now, if you kill people, yeah, we're going to keep you out. Murder's one thing. But expressing an opinion, as is happening in Great Britain, to Michael Savage, no. The nation of Britain is dissolving. Dissolving. Now, here is a man. I want to play this for you. I want you to listen to Alan West. Here is an answer to a lot of our problems. Alan West on Greta Van Susteren. And then I'm going to play immediately after that a reaction. I want you to pay particular attention to the reaction because it is the reaction of the inside the Beltway Republicans and Democrats to what Alan West says here, because he tells the truth like nobody else that I know. Number 21, please.
I don't think it's very presidential when Barack Hussein Obama refers to my colleague, Paul Ryan, as a simple little accountant either. So I think that when you look at what a community organizer is turning out to be, it does seem to be like a low-level socialist agitator. When you look at the economic situation that we have, to have a gentleman in the White House that really has never run any type of business or organization, I myself, as a company commander, as a battalion executive officer, and as a battalion commander, have many times had to balance budgets and take care of units and operate a budget. So I think it does come back to experience. And when I talk about the chickens coming home to roost, when we continue to play this election cycle American idol in the United States of America, this is what we end up with someone that really is not in tune with the American people.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. And here is the reaction to that comment by Inside the Beltway Republicans and by Democrats.
I can't breathe. Stop.
I kind of like that. Every time I hear that, I kind of like it as a reaction, because it tells me that when somebody tells the truth about this president, this community organizer, this Marxist socialist propagandist, this American idol, I mean, I love that. This idol worship. There's the kind of reaction you get. And who do you get it from? The Judith Millers of the world. Yes, Judith Miller. That's right. Judith Miller, Charles Lane. Netanyahu. Ooh, that's terrible. Ooh, the West. Ooh, please don't do that. Ooh, don't you want to take that back? Ooh, don't you think that's a little harsh? Ooh, that's a little too harsh, isn't it? Ooh, that's don't say that. Ooh. No, play number 20 again. I really like this. Right, just play. Keep it up. Alan West. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not supporting anybody for president yet. But you know what else I want to, you know, I understand that the White House has somebody there to, it's called the progressive something or other to get people who say things they don't like on the internet and television and radio. Well, I decided that I don't want to be censored. I know that the Media Matters and all those people, they're out there trying to listen to everybody and everything they say, but I think we can censor ourselves. For instance, I can say blank, 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 blank Barack Obama and blank him, blank, blank, and blank and Barack Obama blank and blank, blank, blank Democrats. So I've already censored myself. I'm doing it for them. Other talk show hosts should probably do the same thing. Of course, they won't have a job. I'm just a fill-in. So my, I don't have as much at stake. But if we blank, 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 then, you know, we can blank together. And then play number 20 one more time, will you? Sarah Palin. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. And This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, and we are going to go to some of our callers. Jerry in Tennessee, you are on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dwight.
Hi.
Yeah, listening to the president today, and he was talking about the meaning of Memorial Day and everything. I don't believe a word this man says. I mean, I there's just no way I believe it. I mean, this guy, it's like an impostorship with this guy. If he told the people what he really meant, they would run him out of town. He has no real feeling. I mean, a guy that has real feeling doesn't need notes, doesn't need a teleprompter. He's a man like Lieutenant Colonel Allen West. That guy can get up and speak from the heart. He doesn't need notes or a teleprompter. And this guy is destroying our country from the inside out. With our allies like Israel, he doesn't care about Israel. I mean, he might as well have Jeremiah Wright be the special Middle East peace envoy. I mean, they both have the same vision for Israel. And the guy is destroying our country, Dwight.
Well, Jerry, I think you're very astute in that you have judged the president by the way he treats others. And, you know, a lot of people say this when they're looking at personalities, they meet people, they judge individuals by the way they treat waiters, people in stores, sales clerks. This president has treated our friends in a despicable way, and we all have a sensitivity to it, and you do too. And here he is, someone who has, before he became was elected president, given this power by the people, which is an extraordinary compliment and gift, actually, to any individual. He railed against the defense of this country and the men and women who have defended it. He was going to cut this, he's going to cut that, he's going to cut this. And now he's using the men and women to achieve his objectives. And after he killed Osama bin Laden, he gave himself credit more than he gave them credit. And you have absorbed that, as I have. Was there anything in particular that he said today that irked you?
I would say one of the deals is when he always says that we have to support our troops when they come home. And now the only people that don't support our troops are his base, the people that he has associated himself with.
This is true.
These are the people who don't have no respect for our troops. And they like you said, he uses them for his to achieve his goals. But I just don't believe a word this guy says, and it just absolutely it just really upsets me thinking about these young men and women that are serving underneath a man like this.
Well, thank you for your call, Jerry. It is disturbing, and I know a lot of us who sometimes we all feel, oh my gosh, am I the only person who sees this? Am I it? And you know you're not. That's the great thing about talk radio, that you hear other people recognize what you do. And this man is a man of words. He said he had a gift. He said the level of the sea was going to drop when he became president. That's what he said. But we know who his friends are. And he even said, he used an old Mexican proverb, tell me who your friends, who you walk with, and I will tell you who you are. Thank you, Mr. President. We will do that in 2012. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, Memorial Day 2011, a day set aside for you to remember and to think about what it is that makes you free, why you are free. Maybe spend a little time reading about the men and women who have given their lives. Just read the Gettysburg Address. You have a computer in front of you and you've never read it? Google it. Read one of the most eloquent and amazing short speeches ever given. In fact, it always reminded me of Mark Twain, who said, "Please forgive me, I didn't have time to write you a short letter." That made a lot of sense to me because it's very hard for me to write. I have just take forever. I mean, other people write 3 or 4 pages. It takes for me to write a paragraph. It's just hard. But this speech, which he said no one would remember, is one of the most eloquent, incredible speeches, and you realize what a great man Lincoln was. His words everywhere are astonishing, and this is a day just to take a few minutes out of your day, just a few minutes, and read some of the words about those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, or maybe make a donation to the Wounded Warriors Project. There are so many connections to our freedoms. I think about it all of the time. In fact, this has never happened to me before, but somebody's publishing a book. It's about television. It's about propaganda, liberal, progressive propaganda in television over the last 50 years. And 2 years ago, someone called me and wanted to interview me because I was a conservative. And I had come out. I've been out for 10, 15 years, 20 years. I've been a conservative all my life, out. I've never been in. And they found out that I was somebody who didn't mind using my name. And I sat down and talked to them. And lo and behold, some of the things I said are in this book. Not a lot. But he's talked to many, many of the producers in Hollywood. And it is an astonishing book. I mean, I have never believed in a blacklist in Hollywood. And I'm still not sure that there is a blacklist. But there is a cocktail napkin list whereby people are, he's a conservative, don't hire him. It's that sort of thing. You don't want to hire this guy. You just don't. It's that sort of thing. But when you hear, when you read what some of the biggest producers in television have said, when you hear what they had to say, and he has tapes, he's going to be a blitz, I'm sure, and you're actually going to hear these people say these things. But when you read what they said and why they were doing what they were doing, producers of Friends, Cheers, it's All in the Family, it doesn't matter what. The idea that we have been sopped in progressive liberal garbage on purpose, it's tribal. These are tribes. These are people. These are small tribes. It's like Afghanistan and Iraq. These are tribes, and they pass on leadership within the tribe from person to, from tribe to tribe. And if there's a leader, he passes it on to someone else, and he passes it on to someone else. There is no election. And it is, we are liberal, and this is what we're going to do. And America's going to buy it. And they don't always do it because it makes the most money, which is what I always figured. But I was wrong about that in this book. Be watching the television programs, listening to radio, because you're going to hear about this. It's a blockbuster. It really is. And it opened my eyes, and I've been in it for 40 years. And there were so many new things in this, things I just didn't believe. I couldn't. There's some stuff in here that in the riots in Los Angeles, what happened during the riots. Blew me away. But you have to read it. You have to understand what we've all been watching, and what that, even though stuff is funny, I mean, I certainly enjoy some of primetime television, and I was in it, but I was in a very conservative set, the A-Team. But when I really did not know that they sat around and talked about how can we get this idea across. I'm foolish not to have realized that. It's going to be a blockbuster, and it's going to be very controversial, and a lot of people are going to be very angry. You're gonna be amazed when you read it. We have a caller here. I want to get back to our callers. We have Tony in Florida. You are on the Savage Nation, Tony.
Yeah, thanks, Dwight. You know, you mentioned the late 60s just for a minute. In the early 70s, the SDS and the Weather Underground. You know, it was that upper middle class, effeminate, gutless little punk, Bill Ayers, and that stool pigeon wife of his, two violent communists who gave birth to Barack Obama.
That's right.
And also, those two, they admire Che Guevara and Fidel Castro. If they had done, those two and those sissies in the Weather Underground, if they had done one-tenth of what they did here in their beloved Che Guevara's Cuba, Che and Fidel would have buried them up to their eyeballs in cement. Let me just get on to say what I wanted to say.
Yes,
what I called
of course.
For.
Go ahead.
There's three things that this pathological, lying, racist Obama regime despises most, and that's the private sector, the United States military, and Israel. If it wasn't for the private sector building the ships, the planes, the tanks, and it wasn't for the military, this world would have been dominated by the two greatest sadistic, violent, brutal murderers of all times, Hitler and Stalin. Somebody ought to tell...
Well, thank you for your call. That was, you know, as a host, I can't go beyond that. That was passionate and articulate and angry. There are a lot of people who feel that way in this country. I certainly do at times. You took the anger right out of me. I was able to sit back and hear someone else say it. It's tough. But it is true, it is very difficult to listen to a man wax on when he has all the privileges given to him to be president of the United States and to see him just decide to be president, to exercise the power, but not to be president of the United States, but just president and change everything. Pull the wool out, the rug out from under our allies' feet in every case. Humiliate people. Be rude to them. What other president has ever brought the Supreme Court in to badmouth them at a State of the Union speech? What other president has ever asked someone to come in like Paul Ryan and sit in front of him because you've told him? This president has a habit. You know, this is a real pattern. He did it with the Supreme Court. He did it with Paul Ryan. Ryan comes in. He thinks that there's going to be a real substantive offer of a economic plan, and all he does is attack Paul Ryan. And then he does the same thing with Netanyahu. This man has a pattern of ugliness, pettiness, and classlessness. We can say that. And I agree 100% with what the caller said, that Bill Ayers and Bernadette Dorn are good examples of his friends. They gave him his kickoff in politics. And it is an astonishing set of circumstances in which the major media does not think that that is important. No, that's guilt by association. No, it is guilt by chosen association. A very, very different thing. Talk to the FBI. I want to get on here to an amazing example of what we're talking about, actually. The bankrupt nature of progressives, and the president is a progressive. He represents the progressive caucus, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Black Caucus. Most of them are socialist, Marxist, communist progressives. They use the terminology. It doesn't really mean anything. We know them by the way they act, not by what they call themselves, because they were just liberals a few years ago. Now they're progressives. When we go back in history, we understand exactly who they are by what they are trying to do and by the words they use over and over and over again. Now, this was Fox News Sunday, and it's Donna Edwards and Alan West, a real man, talking about the Democrats and the progressives and the Republican Party. And what you're going to see and hear in this exchange, and there's quite a few of them, I don't know if we'll get through it here, but it is patently clear that the progressives have nothing to offer except one thing. And we'll talk about that after you listen to this. So, Charles, cut nine, please. This is Donna Edwards, a congresswoman from Maryland.
Well, let's be clear. Raise taxes on the wealthiest 2% who have run away with the store for the last 10 years and haven't put money back into the economy. And that's a fact. because if that trickle-down theory had worked, our economy would be in good shape right now. And so I do subscribe to a plan that says, you know what, middle-income earners, you know, you've already shared a fair burden of your taxes, but the wealthiest 2% have not, and there's no excuse whatsoever for continuing taxes for people who make over $500,000 a year.
Yeah, I got a very interesting article here. It was written on the 26th of May by Stephen Moore for the Wall Street Journal. It talks about, we're talking about a 62% top tax rate and the absolutely abysmal effects that will have on this economy. And one of the great things he says here is, in the end, the Tax Foundation recently noted that in 2009, the U.S. collected a higher share of income and payroll taxes, 45%, from the richest 10% of tax filers than any other nation, including some such socialist welfare states. So I think that we're already getting a lot of the juice from those top brackets.
Getting the juice from the top brackets. Now, the important thing here is that in a devastated economy, with unemployment at 9%, inflation is moving fast, folks, and we may see hyperinflation. Gasoline's going to be moving up the ladder. It's up at $4 a gallon, maybe $5 a gallon before long, especially if we don't drill. But taking money away from people. Now, I just want you to raising money on the top 2%. Top 2%, that's what she says. Just the top 2%. Now, you're going to find out, you're going to hear Alan West point out something about who pays taxes and who doesn't. But it isn't just the top 2% who are going to pay. And she'll throw out words, you'll hear them, Soros and Bill Gates. No. The people who have businesses in this country who file as an individual, but really they run their entire business on the profit that they get from their total income. So if they make $250,000 or over $250,000, they're going to end up paying higher taxes, and yet most of that money goes back into their business. And that's the truth. That is really the truth. But she wants to steal money legally, because that's what Democrats do. That's what progressives do, because you will note she gives no one in the private sector any credit for that being for what they work for being theirs. It's hers. It's hers. Cut 10, please.
But go back and look in history, Donna. When we looked at Coolidge and Harding, they took those marginal tax rates down to 29%, and the percentage of revenues per GDP grew. But then after them came Hoover and Roosevelt. They took it from 24% up to 83%, and the percentage of revenues decreased. Even John F. Kennedy, when he came in and saw a 91% marginal tax rate, said that was too high. He took it down.
Now, you see, what he just said is absolute factually true. When you raise the tax rates, particularly in a downturn, there is no incentive for anyone who is in the business community to expand their business. And so, therefore, this 9% unemployment rate is going to go to 10%. And you're going to be wondering, well, you know what they're going to tell you? Well, we need to tax people more. Isn't it an amazing conceptual idea that an entire party lives on the notion of what they can take from people? Because that's all you're going to hear. In this entire exchange, as we go through this, you will never hear her say what she is going to do or how things will be produced. You will only hear her talk about taking things away from others. Number 13, please.
The Obama administration pumped $1 trillion in stimulus into the economy. The Federal Reserve has pumped trillions more. We've got 9% unemployment. We've got 1.8% GDP growth. It isn't working.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I agree with that, because, you know, first of all, let me finish here. I mean, first of all, the $1 trillion for our stimulus package, actually $786 billion, was absolutely necessary to make sure that this economy didn't go into a free fall. We also know that we had to make sure that we began to stimulate the kind of growth that we need in this country and to invest in the future. I agree with the congressman.
All right, that's it. Kill it right there. Invest in the future. We're going to invest in the future. That's what she says. We're going to take money from you and invest in the future, which means in her pocket, because it's only increasing the size of government, because that's the only thing that this president has done. And that's all that she suggests here. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
down to 71%.
I'd like to just go back to the Reagan tax rates. I mean, if we went back there, we would actually
do a lot to secure
the system. And I think that what's happened here is we've got tax rates at the highest income levels, where George, whether it's George Soros or it's Bill Gates or whichever billionaire millionaire, doesn't pay the amount of taxes that their secretaries pay. I mean, and I
it's
think the American public understands that this is not fair.
That's a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, millionaires are billionaires. Millionaires are billionaires. How many times have you heard the president and every Democrat say, millionaires are... No, it isn't millionaires and billionaires. It's people making $250,000 a year, $200,000 a year. And let me tell you something. Every time a business is forced to pay higher taxes, you then pay the tax if you're making $50,000 a year. Or $70,000 a year. Because every human being, it goes back to the pain piece that I read earlier. There is no moral force in the world. None. Zero. And it isn't even a question of morality. People try to do the best they can. Don't you try to make the most money that you can? It isn't greedy to want to make money, to have things that you see for your children, for your loved ones, for your... This is what these people do. So when their taxes are raised and they have to pay to the government who wants that money, they make you pay more. That's why this is a lie. And that's why Donna Edwards saying millionaires and billionaires is not about millionaires and billionaires. It's about people making $200,000 a year, $250,000 a year. Gas price gone up the roof. You're paying for it now. And the president of the United States said this is what he wanted. For prices, he wants, his science advisor wants it to go up even higher. They want the price for gasoline in the United States of America to be as high as it is in Europe. But the media, the great big conduit of information, the propaganda machine for the Obama administration, doesn't want to tell you that. Boy, they would tell you that if that was George Bush. But not this president. He's untouchable. When Newt Gingrich said he would be known as the food stamp president, what did David Gregory say? That's racist. 70,000 people in the United States getting food stamps, most of them white. What is racist about calling him the food stamp president? That's about all he's offering. Extending unemployment benefits and food stamps. He's done not a bloody thing about jobs in the private sector. And over in Great Britain, he just said, we all know the private sector is what creates jobs. Then he's a liar. When Joe Wilson called him a liar in the Congress of the United States, when the president said, proposals right now about illegal immigration will not apply to those who are here illegally. Excuse me, he didn't say that. Immigration proposals will not apply to illegal immigrants. When Joe Wilson called him a liar, what did Debbie Wasserman Schultz just say? Well, Republicans think that undocumented aliens, it's a crime or something. Joe Wilson was not lying. And when Maureen Dowd said she heard boy, she was the racist.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation, Memorial Day 2011. I hope you are having a wonderful day. I hope you've spent some time contemplating, thinking, honoring those who died for you. I hope you will in the future spend more time thinking about those who are now in Afghanistan and in Iraq and around this world who for a pittance in the shadows, as they say, protect your freedom, your life. It is a very thin line that we follow here. Our civilization is run on a very thin line. The more you know about that gossamer thread, the safer you will be, the safer we all will be. Fulfill your obligations. Learn about the United States military. Learn about the people who are protecting you. Understand what is being asked of them. Spend just a little time this day thinking about these men and women who sacrifice so much because they believe your freedom is vital. We've been talking here on the Savage Nation. By the way, Dwight Schultz, professional actor for 40 years, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, Barclay on Star Trek Next Generation, and Voyager. We've been talking about the plight of our country, our nation, on this Memorial Day, those things that are connected to it, that our lives are, there are all these streams connected to the fight for freedom, going back several hundred years now. It's a series of battles to maintain and defend freedom. And if you go and read the Gettysburg Address, you will see and read one of the most eloquent. If you haven't done it, and a lot of you be surprised at who hasn't read it, because they all think they know it. No, you need to read it. The last measure of devotion. It's one of the most eloquent and beautiful and stirring speeches ever given. Written on an envelope. You can go up on the internet and see the very words that Lincoln crafted. It's a phenomenal piece. And it's just, if you just do that little bit and let that sink in on this day and think about all of the events that are going on around the world and where we fit, where your children will fit tomorrow, what the president is doing, what he did to Bibi Netanyahu, what he did to the Brits, what he did to the Poles. Is he serving the United States as our commander-in-chief? Should. Does he believe in the United States of America as one of the great nations of the world, or as he said, no, we're as exceptional as everybody else, because everybody believes they're exceptional. The Swedes think they're exceptional. The Brits think they're exceptional, just like we think we're exceptional, but we're not. Not any more exceptional. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I want the President of the United States to think that this is the greatest nation on the planet, that he wants to preserve it. Instead, I get the inkling, as one of our callers did just recently, that maybe that's not his style. When he was over in Great Britain, you know, he signed it with the Queen. He signed the book, Barack Obama, 2008. And everybody like, he's so dumb. I don't think this guy is dumb at all. I don't know whether you noticed with Bibi Netanyahu, he kept putting his finger in his ear. Did you notice that? Of course, there are all kinds of photographs of this president when he's been with people that he didn't like. He's given them sign language, shall we say, with his hands. When he pulled the rug out from under the Poles, the missile treaty, he did it on the day, the anniversary to the day that Russia and Germany invaded Poland. This is not a sensitive guy. As we said earlier, he brought the Supreme Court in, berated them in the State of the Union speech, did the same thing to Ryan, and just did the same thing to Bibi Netanyahu. And, of course, his traveling entourage and the media just love him. They go, oh, how could Netanyahu have said such terrible things about him? Please bring some people in here to caress him so that and to mop the sweat from his brow. No one should say such terrible things to our president. Yes. Well, he's a serial venality creator. He's classless, serial classlessness. Remember when he gave the iPod to the Queen with his speeches on it? I mean, can you imagine? That's who we're dealing with, folks. And on this Memorial Day, I wonder, you know, there's a new Gallup poll. Two Gallup polls, actually, of interest. One, the men and women of the United States military think less of the president and his administration than the general public. By quite a bit, by about 10 points. And it's a telling poll. Joe Klein was just on television saying how, oh, Barack Obama, he gets along much better with the military. Much better. It's not true. It's not. That's the media lying. And Joe Klein was part of the Journalistas, if you remember that. That's all gone to the wayside. Remember all those people getting together? How are we going to help the president? How are we going to get him elected? How are we going to unelect Republicans? What are we going to say? All those phonies, because they're not journalists. They're just propagandists. The telephone number here, by the way, 1-800-449-8255. I guess we are looking for someone to take over the presidency of the United States. Someone who will be president of the United States. Not just take the power given to him by the people as president and do whatever he wants. But rather recognizes that we have obligations to people abroad, to our only ally in the Middle East, real ally, because we've betrayed everybody else now. We have a policy of looking at the Arab Spring, we're calling it. What is that? It's an Arab Spring. You all know, recognize Arab Spring? There's a lot of blood in it, but, you know, come on. It's a word choice. We got them here in the White House. I get paid $150,000 to come up with that phrase. You're not embarrassing me, are you? Arab Spring. We don't know what's happening right now in the rest of the world with the Muslim Brotherhood in every country is a disgrace. We are sitting back. This administration is telling you nothing. You have a fat, chubby Chavez allied with someone who has declared he's going to destroy the United States and Israel. And now they're talking about building missile bases down there. We have 35,000 people dead along the border. And what are we doing? What is this president doing? What's he talking about? Nothing. How long has it been since they've come up with a budget? You know why they haven't come up with a budget, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats? Because they figure if Republicans come up with a budget and fix anything, they'll lose because you'll be angry with them. So they'll let Republicans take the heat and then they'll take all the benefits. That's what happened during the Clinton administration. It's not going to happen this time, though. We're in a much worse situation, and the world is in crisis. A lot of people like Chris Christie. They're talking about him a lot, and they want him to be president. Ann Coulter, for one. Chris Christie, Chris Christie, Chris Christie. I want you to listen to this, this little press conference he gave the other day about anthropogenic global warming. And listen to what Chris Christie has to say. Number three, Charles, if you have it there, number three. And this is Chris Christie, the man who isn't in the presidency, but a lot of people want him to be president. But I think this speech is problematic. Number three, please.
In the past, I've always said that climate change is real and it's impacting our state. There's undeniable data that CO2 levels and other greenhouse gases in our atmosphere are increasing. Decade average temperatures have been rising, and temperature changes are affecting weather patterns in our climate. In order to best deal with climate change, we have to understand its causes. And that was the root of the question that I was asking at the time of my town hall meeting that's gotten a lot of attention. So in the last number of months since that time, I've taken some time to develop a better understanding of the role that humans play in global warming and what impact human activity has on our climate. In the last few months, I've sat down with experts both inside the government and outside the administration in academia and other places to discuss the issue in depth. I've also done some reading on my own on the topic as well. I'm certainly not a scientist, which is the first problem, and so I can't claim to fully understand all of this, certainly not after just a few months of study. But when you have over 90% of the world's scientists who have studied this stating that climate change is occurring and that humans play a contributing role, it's time to defer to the experts.
All right, cut it. Cut it right there. First of all, 90% of the scientists do not agree with that. There is climate change, folks. It's called summer, fall, winter, spring. It was a puppet on Howdy Doody Show, if you're a baby boomer. Summer, fall, winter, spring, climate change. Ain't that the thing? That's climate change. The world has been, the climate has been changing for a couple billion years. The question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, let me tell you what this whole nonsense was created by a firm called Futera in Great Britain, which was connected to the Fenton communication business in the United States. It was a Democratic PR firm. To help address the chaotic nature of climate change discourse today, interested agencies now need to treat the argument as having been won, at least for popular consumption. This means behaving as if climate change exists and is real, and that individual actions are effective. The facts need to be treated as being so taken for granted that they need not be spoken at all. That's a PR firm, folks. Remember, the debate has ended? The debate has ended. The debate has ended. A PR firm. When we come back, I'm going to read to you something else that was said. It's almost word for word that Chris Christie just said out of a PR playbook. This is non-thinking. He's not my guy for president. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
In the past, I've always said that climate change is real and it's impacting our state. There's undeniable data that CO2 levels and other greenhouse gases in our atmosphere are increasing. Decade average temperatures have been rising, and temperature changes are affecting weather patterns in our climate. In order to best deal with climate change, we have to understand its causes. And that was the root of the question that I was asking at the time of my town hall meeting that's gotten a lot of attention. So in the last number of months since that time, I've taken some time to develop a better understanding of the role that humans play in global warming and what impact human activity has on our climate. In the last few months, I've sat down with experts both inside the government and outside the administration in academia and other places to discuss the issue in depth. I've also done some reading on my own on the topic as well. I'm certainly not a scientist, which is...
Cut it. Cut it right there. You're not a scientist, and you obviously haven't done a lot of reading, and I don't believe you. Because no one, let me say this, no one can look at this topic in an egalitarian way and take both views and come away saying, you know what? CO2 levels rose in our atmosphere a billion years. We know this. And hundreds of thousands of years before human beings were doing what we're doing today. And temperature is not a result of CO2. One doesn't follow the other. It's exactly the opposite. Climate change is always real. But the fact that human beings, quote unquote, are changing the climate, you have to take certain things into consideration, like where thermometers were 100 years ago and where they are today. And you have to take into consideration the fact that the grand socialist world is using cap and trade, a tax scheme, to destroy the United States. It was a weapon used against the United States. Mikhail Gorbachev, 2 years after the collapse of the Soviet Union, became an environmentalist, Green Cross, and attacked the United States consistently over this issue from 1992 and the Rio Treaty, when Clinton and Gore came back, CO2, carbon tax, I want to tax your breath. This is a joke. I'm telling you, Chris Christie could not possibly have said 90% of the scientists agree with this consideration and be actually studying it, because 90% of the scientists do not. Not the people who know about climate. That is simply false, and it indicates somebody who is not serious about this issue. I want to read to you what was said by a gentleman by the name of Jeremy Paxman on the BBC. He had read the Futera document telling Americans and Brits how to deal with this subject. And he said, I've neither the learning nor the experience to know whether the doomsayers are right about the human causes of climate change, but I am willing to acknowledge that people who know a lot more than I do may be right when they claim that it is a consequence of our own behavior. It's all in the script, folks. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. More when we return.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. And we have a caller, John in New Mexico. You are on The Savage Nation, John.
Yes, sir. Chris Christie isn't my candidate either. And that's because of his views on the Second Amendment.
Go ahead.
The worst states in the whole country to even try to own a firearm. You have to have a special permit to even possess a long gun or a handgun, and you can't possess a handgun outside your home without a special permit granted by a superior court, and they're very hard to get, practically impossible. And it's just a mess up there.
Yes, and I mean, I really don't know anything about his views internationally. I have no idea what he thinks of Israel or what's going on in the Middle East. I do know that he said some untoward things about Sarah Palin. When it comes to firearms, when it comes to the NRA, when it comes to now global warming, as far as I'm concerned, this is a lack of thought. I mean, do you know anything about his views?
He has a great style. I like his style, yeah. But his views, they don't get it. And when people learn more about him, I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
Thank you for your call. Yes, I agree with that. I think that there, you know, this is problematical. And we are responsive people. When somebody, like Alan West, for instance, I love Alan West. I love him because he continuously stands up and tells it like it is. But I also know his views over for many years now. I know the trouble that he was in the military. I know where he stands economically. I know where he stands vis-a-vis Israel. I know where he stands vis-a-vis the United States. He has articulated everything that a man needs to articulate in many of the same ways Sarah Palin has. Now, I know Dr. Savage on this program has at one supporting anyone specifically yet for president, but I will say this about Sarah Palin. She knows our existential enemy. She has articulated what that is, who that is. She knows our political enemy. She has articulated who and what that is. She has asked the question, what exactly is a community organizer, particularly this one, which no one else has done? She was not afraid to mention Jeremiah Wright as a problem, who you associate with when it is a chosen association. That's a difficulty. She knows something about energy. She can talk about drilling. She really can. Ladies and gentlemen, let me throw this out at you. And I don't hear this often. You know, the president has said, well, we don't want to drill. You know, no matter what we drill, it won't do any good in a year or 2 years. It doesn't matter. Blah, 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 blah. This is the same old crap that the environmentalists have been throwing out for as long as I remember. And the truth is, well, you're right from the standpoint of you can't build a muscle overnight. That is right. If you want, if your bicep is 8 inches and you want it to be 15, lifting that barbell tonight isn't going to get that 15-inch bicep tomorrow. But you do it every day and you increase the weight, it's going to be there. Now, let me tell you that the world is in chaos. And there is oil in particular. You can go to war. You always have been able to go to war over someone cutting off your supply of energy. Imagine the Muslim Brotherhood being in control of a majority of the nations in the Middle East. And imagine them deciding unilaterally to cut off oil to the United States. Well, if they know we can't drill because we haven't drilled and we're not going to get any oil from our own supplies or gas for the next 2 years, they're going to be liable to do it. But if we have holes in the ground, if we're extracting gas from shale and sand, if we're in the process of doing it and we're ready to extract it, they're not going to be able to blackmail us. That's the point. Don't you see that? Don't you understand that? Don't fall for this nonsense. And don't fall for the environmentalists who are stopping you from the spotted owl. Remember, they lied about that. It was on the old growth forests. No, it was everywhere. MTBE to clean the air. It's poisoned all the water in the wells in California. The Delta smelt in California. We've stopped the flow of water into the Central Valley and it destroyed the Central Valley of California because of environmental nonsense. We need to extract the energy, or to be able to extract the energy immediately if we are blackmailed. And I tell you this, and there is no question that what the Iranians are doing right now, which is attaining nuclear weapons, and apparently with this president, we're not going to do anything to stop them, they will be in the business of blackmail big time. And you and your family and your child, and it doesn't matter whether you are making $100,000 a year or $50,000 or $25,000 or $300,000 or what you do, your life will be affected. And it will be affected in a way that you can't even begin to think about if we are blackmailed. If they cut off the supply of oil to this country, we're going to be up the creek, folks, unless we start drilling now. Unless we start developing everything that we need for energy now. And we ain't going to do it with the Christies of the world. We're not going to do it with taxation. If you have taxes in your mind, as opposed to hard commodities and work and production and capitalism and private industry, that's the only thing that's going to save this country. Government is not going to. It never has. All that it's ever done is stood in the way of advancement. Folks, it's clear. Your president, your government is not telling you about what's going on in Venezuela because they don't want you to be bothered by it. When the you-know-what hits the fan, they want to be and pretend to be as surprised as you are. But you are being set up, and this president knows it. The moratorium in the Gulf, the failure to allow us and our companies to drill, to dig, to do whatever, is a result of an ideology that is to turn this country from being the number one country and the exceptional country that it is into what John Holdren wants it to be. And that is a country that lowers its standard of living so that the rest of the world can raise theirs. The exact words of John Holdren. You know, there's a book. There are several biographies. Several biographies about Barack Obama. His own autobiography. There's a book by David Remnick, who is a leftist. And if you go up onto the National Review online, you will see an article by Stanley Kurtz, and you need to read it. In David, he mentions in this article that Remnick interviewed Valerie Jarrett, a friend of Obama's from Chicago. And Remnick informs us that Valerie Jarrett and Obama have something in common. They both were raised abroad. Jarrett in Iran and Obama in Indonesia, as you know. And Remnick quotes Jarrett that Obama, he and I share a view of where the United States fits in the world, which is often different from the view people have who have not traveled outside the United States as young children. It's an elitist way of saying, you know, if you haven't really been abroad, if you really don't see the world from the world's eyes as opposed to the United States' eyes, you don't understand. And Remnick continues that through her travels, Jarrett felt that she had come to see the United States with a greater objectivity as just one country among many, rather than the center of all wisdom and experience. Speaking with authority of a close personal friend and a top political advisor that Jarrett is, she affirms that she and Obama reject traditional American exceptionalism, which is why the president of the United States said, yes, of course. Of course. The United States is exceptional the way I think it's exceptional, the way the Swedes think Sweden is exceptional, and the way the Brits think that Britain is exceptional. Folks, it's a losing proposition. It is very, very, very difficult to read about this president and the supporters and the individuals, for instance, say Jarrett, who was very high on Van Jones, a communist. When you hear Van Jones talk and you really listen to all the things that he has said on the Internet, and you realize that Valerie Jarrett had had her eyes on him for a long time, you know that she had her eyes on Obama even longer, because they were good, deep buddies. Their interests, as Dorothy Rabinowitz said, are the interests of an alien in the White House. We have a caller in Sacramento. Richard in Sacramento. You are on the Savage Nation, Richard.
Yeah, thank you, Dwight. You know, I'd like to see the Republican Party pick Michelle Bachmann with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West as the vice president. But as the Prophet Michael says, it's not going to happen. The Republicans are in with the Bilderberg, Democrats, all of them. And they're going to pick another weasel like they did with McCain. And to prove it, you're going to see Barack Obama reelected. No doubt about it.
Well, that's a pretty dismal view. you mentioned two good people, Bachmann and Alan West. I know that that's what many in the up, like you mentioned them, the upper echelon of the inside the Beltway Republicans, the snobs. That's what they want. They want a huntsman. You know, they wanted Daniels. They want somebody that falls in line with the let's all get along. Pawlenty actually said, basically, I've been listening to him, let's all get along. We have to get along. We have to be nice. Whereas West and Michelle Bachmann, I think, are in fact the key to winning. I would agree with you that there is a probability that we may not see the tough choices and the hard line that we want. But Obama can be beaten, Richard. I think he definitely can be beaten. And as long as we, the people, insist that we put someone out there who is not like him, which is what they want desperately, as long as we fight for Bachmann and Alan West and Sarah Palin. And it doesn't matter. I mean, there's going to be a fight. No matter. But as long as we fight for them and not for the McCainiacs of the world, not for the let's get along crowd, but fight for people who tell it like it is. And as long as we demand that people tell it like it is, I think we've got a shot. And remember this, too, that elections have usually been won based on economic issues. And we are in dire economic straits, Richard. I mean, don't you agree with that?
But, you know, our votes, I really think, doesn't matter, especially now that Soros is in control. That's what scares me. You know, I mean, the way I see it, Obama's going to win again, and I'm sorry to say that. I don't want to see it, but I don't trust the Republicans at all, not as far as I can spit.
Well, thank you for your call. Yes, I don't trust some Republicans, but I trust the Tea Party. I trust people who swept the House of Representatives. I enjoy watching Karl Rove squirm a little bit. I like Karl Rove, you know that? I mean, he's an operator, he's a manipulator. He's in there, and you can see him. He's not going to give Sarah Palin an inch. He'll always get a dig in. And he'll, you know, he thought that, well, yeah, we should have fought back a little bit harder and defended ourselves, but now let's move on. You know, that was one of the reasons that, you know, George Bush did not help people down the line. And I hold that against him, and I'm not afraid to say it. I voted for him twice. And I'm not going to let, you know, people lie about Bush. At the same time, you have to change. He grew government, as Alan West said. It was a mistake. He never used the veto. He always expanded government. He was afraid because he wanted this compassionate conservatism crap. It doesn't work. I hope you're wrong, Richard. I think you are going to be wrong, because I think the American people are going to be ready for the fight. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage in the last segment on this Memorial Day, 2011. I was watching television earlier this morning, and I heard a very, very beautiful segment on Fox News. John Scott's newscaster there, his son graduated from West Point. And, you know, contrary to what you think, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people, what Stephen King thinks, get him out of, you know, this two-bit horror novelist thinks that the worst thing in the world that could happen to you is that you end up in the United States military. It's actually the best thing that happens to almost everyone who ever goes in the military. Because Stephen King doesn't know anything about sacrifice. He really doesn't. He doesn't know anything about sacrifice. Particularly if he badmouths people in the United States military, you need to get him out of your mind and understand that that is ingratitude to an extent that is disgusting. But John Scott this morning, I want you to hear this, and we're going to go out with this, he spoke beautifully. This is a tribute to Memorial Day. John Scott, ladies and gentlemen, from Fox News.
It's the unofficial beginning of summer and vacation time for tens of millions in this great nation. For a much smaller number, though, the families of our military, it's a weekend that brings a range of emotion, sorrow and longing for those who've lost loved ones in the service, thanksgiving and reflection for those who know that at any moment they could hear a knock at the door and open it to two officers and a boatload of heartbreak. I was privileged this past weekend to attend graduation ceremonies at West Point. My oldest son, part of the class of 2011. All of us West Point parents, and this goes for the other service academies as well, know how very hard our children have worked to become officers in the military of the United States in order to lead other people's children in battle, if necessary. They've worked long hours, studied late, pushed themselves beyond where they thought they could go. And yet, as Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mike Mullen reminded us in his graduation address, their hard work and brilliant futures can be snatched with a sniper's bullet or the blast of an IED.
Back!
As you celebrate this Memorial Day in America, take a moment to remember those whose sacrifices have given us freedom of the press and the other freedoms we enjoy, and remember those serving now who stand ready to give their own lives for our protection. God bless America.
The last full measure of devotion, beyond the call of duty, were their deeds. The last full measure of devotion, they gave themselves to serve a greater need. And with those who did survive, who came back home alive, we join in praise of comrades who were slain and highly resolved, most highly resolved, the
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.